Tim Lewicki joins us. He is the CEO of the Oakview Group. They have come to specific attention of late as a result of a deal in place to renovate the Key Arena in Seattle, get ready for operation by 2020, and we think land themselves an NHL franchise, although one step at a time. Mr. Lewicki, long time no talk. How you been?
Gentlemen, Bob, Damian, how are you?
We're good. So, congratulations.
I'll try not to upset that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on a number of fronts. Number one, the Seattle deal, which we'll get into. But, I think it's important that we also acknowledge it's been a while since you departed Toronto. And the legacy you left behind in terms of the franchises and the people that you put in place has been well acknowledged here. And you're to be congratulated for the process that you put in place here. And I just wanted to take a second to say that to you.
Thank you, but I will tell you what you guys already know. I think the best sports city in North America. The fans are phenomenal. They were starved. They were hungry. And, even the sun will shine on a dog's rear end occasionally, and so in our case, we were smart enough to find three really capable and brilliant culture guys, and Masai, and Shanny, and Lou, in the case of the Leafs, and then with Tim and now Bill Manning, who doesn't get enough credit for the job he's done. And I think that they're, I made a bunch of bad decisions, but I made three good ones, mm-hmm. and the three good ones are the ones that ultimately create a legacy. And so it's fun. I think it's fun to be in Toronto right now. You got the Raptors with the best run they've ever had in their history. You have the anticipation of the Leafs and how good this young team is going to be going forward. And then you have TFC, which literally has a chance of being the best soccer team ever in North America this year.
Sir.
So it's great to see that, because I really do think those fans have been through so much there, and people don't understand how great a sports market it is. It's just one of the most wonderful and marvelous places to be around with the sports fans. When things are going well, there's no place better.
So, I just wanted to say, just before we move on to Seattle, we talk about Masai a lot. We talk with Lou and Brendan and all these guys a fair bit. We had Tim Bezbatchenko on last week, and we sort of got him talking about how did that, because this, when he arrived, this was, and when you were started dealing with this soccer team, this was the worst team in soccer team in North America.
No, let's go. Let's tell the truth. This was the worst professional sports team in all of North America.
And now, and I know you follow it closely, I would argue that they are number four in town in terms of popularity. They have surpassed the CFL, and who knows how big they can go. Did you imagine this would be the case, or did you think, we got to do something, but this may never be anything any good here?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. So when I first got up there, and we were trying to get our arms around everything, and we were doing all four of the teams at the same time. And so we were focused on the Leafs, focused on the Marlies, focused on the Raptors, focused on TFC, and we obviously want to change straight across the board. So I wanted – there happened to be a TFC game, and I won't name the executive, but I said, come on, let's go to the TFC game together. So we're sitting in what used to be the owner's suite, which is inside, and then I say, come on, let's sit outside. He said, you don't want to do that. So why not? And he says, well, they'll throw stuff at you. And I'm like, they're not going to throw anything at me. So we're sitting outside, and he won't come out. And I said, come sit with me. They're not going to throw stuff at you. About a minute later, it started to hurl down some stuff, insults mostly, no food, no tomatoes. And I began to realize how frustrated the fans were. So one of the things I always used to do is walk around and at least talk to them. And I couldn't believe what they've been through there. And it was, you just felt it everywhere in the organization, ushers, ticket takers, players, coaches. But the great thing that we did, and I'm not sure anyone realized at the time what we were up to, when we convinced Greg Vanney to move his family from Southern California, kids in school, daughter was actually a fairly successful gymnastics competitor, And he came in to do our development. So Greg's first task was to tackle the academy and begin to build homegrown talent, because we hadn't done that either at TFC, even though we owned a huge patch of Canada. And our ability to grow young talent in Toronto, which is such an international city, Greg came in and did that, and he did a phenomenal job. I mean, he completely rewrote the book on how to build the academy and the development system. But what people didn't know is we brought Greg in because we had him in waiting, and we knew there was a moment in time we were going to turn around and step up to him and Robin Fraser and say, take this and rebuild the team now and take the next step and help us with the A club. And so there was a lot of pain with the fans. But the thing is, they kept on coming. And so you kind of looked at that and said, look, I'd rather deal with the emotion and the anger and people venting and people saying things. I'll take that every day of the week, because at least those people still care. We haven't, thank God, we haven't run them off. And I think with TFC, they had made almost every decision wrong. And so you kind of sat back and said, look, we can't do worse. So by just making a few good decisions, bringing in Tim B., understanding how to get good DPs, getting the board to agree to spend the money, upgrading the facility, I think at the end of the day, it was just straight across the board with the organizations, going out to everyone and saying, don't be afraid of failure. Let's go make some decisions here. Let's create some rather large expectations as to what we want, and don't be afraid to tell people, here's where we aspire to be. And they were afraid. They were deadly afraid of making any commitment of any kind, because things had gone so wrong for so long. But once we got past that, the thing I always loved about TSC is you felt that was the first one that was going to turn and the first one that was going to change the culture, and it did.
With Tim Lewicki, now the CEO of the Oakview Group, let's get to the more current issues, and that is the deal in Seattle to build a new, or more accurately, renovate the existing facility there, the Key Arena. A $600 million proposal that has been accepted and approved, and you're on your way with it. What is intriguing to me in many respects is I know a little bit about your history and your time with AEG, and AEG was the operator of that arena, Tim, weren't they, before you guys moved in?
Yeah, they were. Actually, I helped win the bid when I was leading AEG, so now we turned around and competed with them, and so it was a little bit different, but I guess it would have been worse if we would have lost. We didn't lose, so I'm okay with that process.
Okay. The interesting thing is you've been around this game long enough, and when I say that the sports management game long enough, that I'm sure you have a close, regular relationship with Mr. Bettman. It would be no surprise to anybody if Seattle very quickly got an NHL franchise, but you need ownership in order to make that happen. You have stated, correct me if I'm wrong, that your group, are not interested in owning an NHL franchise, correct?
A little bit different. So here's what we've done. We will own a small piece of an NHL team, because I'm not capable of writing whatever check the owners may or may not want. What we are doing is my company is putting in half of the money on the arena, but my company can't own a hockey team. And so I personally will put a little bit of money in. But we had to go find an owner, or in this case two, that were prepared to write that check. And in order to make sure that we were aligned, we gave them half of the interest in the arena. So we have a 50-50 joint venture with the partners we're about to talk about here on the arena, and then they're going to lead the charge on the hockey team if we have an ability to get one.
Well, and I'm going to suggest that you already know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that the National Hockey League, and specifically Gary, wants Seattle. He wants another team in the West. He gave Vegas their franchise. He's been tapping his foot like Sonic the Hedgehog for a long time, waiting for Seattle to get their act together.
I've heard the line many times, but Tim obviously hasn't.
And now they have. So this seems a fait accompli to me, I must tell you. I mean, I know there's I's to dot and T's to cross.
Between your lips and God's ears. So, look, here's here's what I've known Gary a very long time.
I know you have.
Gary and I were in the NBA together. Obviously, I've spent a long time in the NHL, whether it be on the Board of Governors or the Executive Committee for a long period of time, have great respect for Gary. But I understand at the end of the day, it is the will and the whim of the owners and the commissioner that make decisions on these sort of things, so that we still have to ultimately convince the owners that this is the right place. But here's what we've done, and I think we've taken the right steps. First and foremost, you got to have an arena.
Yep.
And so what we're doing is we're keeping the outside of the arena as is, because this is 1962 in the World's Fair. And so there's a great deal of history and tradition, but we're going down and completely gutting the bowl and completely gutting the concourses and doubling the size of the arena to 660,000 square feet. So imagine, essentially, it'll look an awful lot like the Air Canada Center. And like the Air Canada Center, we'll have an atrium that essentially gets people down. So our arena is going to, you'll enter on the top level and then go down to the rest of the building in the bowl. Very tight, 17,500 seats, but economically designed in a way to be top third of the league in revenue, suites, premium, and a lower bowl that will be one of the larger lower bowls in the league. The environment will be amazing because it will be tight. There's not a lot of space in this bowl. We want it to be where the fans are right up on the ice or the basketball court. So we've spent $600 million on a building that ultimately will be one of the better buildings, and it's designed in large part to be similar to the XL Center in St. Paul. And it'll look and feel a little bit like Air Canada Center, but just new. So one, you got to have the right building, and I think we've done that. And two, you got to have the right marketplace. And I love Seattle, 12th largest marketplace in the U.S., fastest growing city in the U.S., major corporate support there with people like Microsoft, Amazon, and Expedia that are all headquartered there. Amazon literally is next door, would be our neighbor. And so the growth going on there, the millennial population base, no winter sports franchise of any kind, no prominent NCAA basketball team right now in the marketplace, probably as rabid a group of fans with the Seahawks and the Sounders as you will see in the NFL and Major League Soccer. So you know you have the right demos. You know you have the attention span because no one's competing with you in the wintertime. You know you have the right building. And then we come along with David Bonderman and Jerry Bruckheimer, and I think they've been looking at jumping into the National Hockey League for the last 15, 20 years. And I think the National Hockey League's been trying to get these guys in for the last 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, Gary has.
Oh, man.
I know he tried to get Bruckheimer on the hook for Vegas years ago.
Yep. And so I've known David and Jerry forever. And what I told them when they were looking at Vegas is, take a deep breath. I think a better opportunity will come. Nothing against Vegas, but when you look at Seattle, the other thing I love about Seattle is you have a five-state region there. So you have Washington, Oregon, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. And so it's a massive piece of territory for a regional sports network. And again, if you kind of say, where would I rather be? You got to look at the Northwest in the United States and say, we're not that far from Vancouver, a tremendous rivalry with the Canucks. We actually fit in nicely when you look at San Jose, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg. Amazingly, if you look at Seattle, they'll probably have their best rivalries with the Canadian teams. Mm. And so Seattle acts That's like surprising. A Canadian city. It has that it's clean, it's young, it's vibrant, it's nice, it's functional. It's a kind, big city. It reminds me probably more of Toronto than any city I've seen in the United States. And I think the fact is hockey's more prevalent there and more of a passion there than it is in places like Vegas. And again, I'm not saying anything negative about Vegas. They've done a great job down there. But if you look at the success of Vegas, you feel pretty good about Seattle, especially with Bonderman and Bruckheimer.
So it wouldn't be a Tim Leiwicki production if there wasn't a little bit of drama. And last week you guys had a little bit of drama. So if you would, tell us what you can about your lining up for this big press conference. Everybody's set. Tim's got his best tie on, his new suit.
And he's all set. Hell breaks loose.
And the mayor's there, and okay, and the media's there, and you're walking up, and all of a sudden, there's a red light. Tell us what happened, what it was like.
Well, one, I didn't have a new suit and a new tie because I can't afford one due to the national
Oh, oh please. Oh, please.
So we've been working on this for a year. We won the bid a little over 4 months ago. We have spent every waking day since then on a negotiation, on a memorandum of understanding. We finished the MOU. We decide that the day we're going to announce it and submit it to the council is last Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was waiting.
We're all locked in. We have an enormous amount of give and take over a period of a couple of days to finish the final issues and to get everyone to sign off on it. I'm running around trying to make sure I track down my partners so that they can sign off on it. We have an all-nighter with our lawyers the night before. They get done. We fly in the next morning. Everything looks good. We finally got this done. Record time, a very good deal for the city, a very good deal for the city. The city staff is anxious to go tell their story because at the end of the day, it's exactly what we said, which is we're writing the check for everything. We're giving the city every penny they're making today with growth. They will never go backwards. There's zero risk to the taxpayers, and we're not asking them to waive any taxes or give us any subsidies. So it's actually a really good day for them to be able to tell the story.
Right.
We show up at the press conference, and all of a sudden, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes before we're supposed to start, they walk in and say, hey, we got a problem. And now I'm thinking, okay, what are the different things that are about to be uttered out of their mouth that could be a problem? I didn't imagine what they were about to say, which is the mayor had another person come out and accuse him of ultimately things that are terrible and disgusting. And so they made it very clear that their mayor wasn't going to come. They asked us if we wanted to do the press conference without him. And I told them no, because whatever's going on with the mayor is the mayor's business. I don't want to get in the middle of it. We haven't seen the mayor in 4 months. We negotiated the deal with you guys. The deal's been turned over to the council.
Oh, interesting.
So the last thing we want is to get tied up in the controversy.
Sure.
Right.
What then came out of that is, you know, there's another proposal that's been sitting there for 7 years, which is the Sodo Arena. And they obviously have been pushing very hard that they think they have the better location. So we need a vote of the council, and there's 9 people on the council. And now you start doing math about, well, wait a minute, if one of them leaves to go become the mayor and now there's 8 people on the council, you got to still get 5 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could only have 3 people oppose you. If it's the wrong person that leaves and ultimately goes to become the mayor, now you're really in trouble. It worked out very well for us. The president of the council stayed. He did not take the mayor's job for the next 2 months. Tim Burgess, who is now the mayor in Seattle, is a friend and a very strong proponent of our vision. He knew my brother from all of his days in running the Seahawks and the Sounders and the Trailblazers up there. And so there was a good relationship. We're in good shape. But no one wants to go through those 2 days. It was like you're looking around going, this is going to be another good chapter in the book someday.
I don't want to keep you too long. I don't know what your schedule is like, but we've gone a little longer than we wanted to. But this is a rare opportunity for us to chat, and there's so much going on. Before we let you go, at the very least, take a minute or two and say, you know, I think your hockey scenario is locked in. I know you could argue that point, but I think if your ownership guys want to get a hockey team, you're going to get one. Whether, and it's probably going to be for 2020. Whenever your arena is ready, you're probably going to have an NHL franchise. There'll be 32, equal number in the West as the East. Everything will work out fine. The NBA, though, Tim, is a slightly different scenario. We are not hearing an overtly positive response from Mr. Silver and the NBA to the notion of going back to Seattle for whatever reason, whether it's they're not ready to expand, they don't feel they have a team that they want to move, or that is in any jeopardy. How do you solve that problem?
So, good question. So I'd say on the NHL between, again, I hope you're right, but we will be Very diligent at making sure we follow the directions and the leadership that is provided by the owners and Gary as to Seattle. They've given us no assurances, but I believe that everything will align well for all involved, because we as a league, and I'm still passionate about the National Hockey League, we as a league need to be in the Northwest. We as a league need to be first in. I think that's critical.
I agree.
We as a league ultimately need to be in a position where economically you got to find owners that have the capability and the determination and the passion and the commitment to make hockey work, knowing that it is going to take some time, and you need to be patient and you need to be prepared to spend the money necessary to build it. I think all of that's aligned in Seattle. So I think that hopefully will end well for all of us, but we'll follow the lead of the commissioner. On basketball, Adam, look, the very reason I ended up in Toronto and accepting Larry Tenenbaum's offer to come up there was in large part due to my desire to work with Adam Silver again. He's one of my best friends. I love Adam Silver. I think he's done one of the great jobs of all time. You know, if you step back and look at the number of times Adam Silver came up to Toronto and visited that marketplace and went to Raptor games and came to playoff games, absolutely amazing how committed he was to helping us rebuild and rebrand and take the Raptors to a point where they were Canada's team. And he deserves a lot of credit for it, because he put a lot of time and energy into helping Masai and myself on what we were trying to do there. So I love Adam Silver. Adam Silver's made it very clear that when you have the kind of TV deal they have now, they're not in a position where they're looking, nor do they need to expand. They don't have 31 teams, so they have an even number of teams. They have an even number of teams balanced throughout their divisions. And so right now, everything's going extremely well for the NBA. They don't have any teams in trouble. There's a perception in Seattle, and has been for a long period of time since they lost the Sonics, that they're going to get a team back. And there have been people that are telling them they're going to get a team back. Well, we won't do that. They're going to get a team back if and when the NBA wants to expand or move a team to Seattle. And what everyone forgets, and you guys know better than anybody because you've seen Quebec and you've seen Winnipeg and you've seen teams come and you've seen teams go, at the end of the day, only the owners and the commissioner have the right and the will to ultimately put a team or take a team away from a city.
Of course.
And more and more, I will give the commissioners credit. You know, who would have sat back and said in our last 5 years, the league that's moved the most teams is the most successful league in the world? And that's the
National Football League.
I never would have bet that. That would have been a sure way to win a lot of money. I think hockey and basketball, especially basketball now, they're very, very careful about creating unrealistic expectations and damaging communities. So they're going to do the right thing. We will be ready in Seattle if and when there's a day and time that Adam Silver comes knocking on our door. What we're not going to do, though, is we're not going to mislead him. We're not going to create some expectation in the fans' mind that there's a team out there to be had. And what we sure won't do is we're not going to go in the dead of the night and try to go steal a team. That doesn't work, ever. So I've learned, don't get ahead of commissioners. And in Seattle, the great news is we're building the arena. With great faith, we're going to get at least one, if not two teams.
Yeah.
But an understanding, it's a risk. And we have to understand, we have not been given a guarantee that we're going to get either the NHL or the NBA. We still got to go prove ourselves.
We want to let you go. I'd be remiss, though, if I didn't address the fact that you're, spent a long time in Los Angeles. Is that home again for you now?
Yes.
Okay.
My company actually has grown. We have like 140 employees now, so we're all based in Los Angeles, and I spend none of my time here. And actually, I will spend more time in the next 30 days in Toronto, I would bet, than I will in Los Angeles. But I'm coming up there and doing an awful lot now with Maple Leaf Sports and with TFC, and we're trying to expand in Toronto. And I think we're going to do some other ventures there. Love that city. We'll still be very active and involved. And although we're headquartered in LA, my home is Seattle, New York, Toronto, and elsewhere.
A worldly man. We look forward to seeing you here. But let me ask you then, it's very early days, but two NFL teams in Los Angeles, and so far people are yawning. The Chargers have a tough road to hoe. They're playing in the soccer stadium and couldn't sell out 27,000. Rams announced 50-odd thousand in a 100,000-seat stadium. People think the crowd was significantly less than that. In fact, it was. Is this a precursor to a problematic situation in L.A., or is this just growing pains?
Well, my brother's the CEO of the NFL, so I want to make sure that Thanksgiving Day in the U.S. goes well for me and him. So I will say this. Roger Goodell and Todd Leiwicki are well aware of the issues here. Nothing is easy. L.A. is a very difficult town. What I will say is this. If I were an owner and I had a team, I know the place I would have at least gone and spent some time with is Toronto. I think with the World Cup coming here now, the opportunity to build a world-class NFL stadium in Toronto, probably more economically viable than ever before. You just need to get your arms around the CFL and how you form a partnership there. And I think there's a big idea between the NFL and the CFL at some point or another. Toronto should be an NFL city, and that's nothing against L.A., but watching two teams here and then looking at Toronto and saying, people don't get it. The greatest sports town in North America is sitting up there north of the border, and those fans are phenomenal. And I still think there's going to be a day and age where Toronto has a chance. You just got to get through that CFL issue and make sure that you do it in partnership with the CFL and you don't compete against the CFL. But I'd rather be in Toronto.
Do you think both teams will survive in L.A.? Are you confident that both teams will survive in L.A.? I'm not.
I wouldn't make it past the salad at Thanksgiving Day if I said something bad about it.
Chicken.
Pulls the chute at the last minute.
Yeah.
You guys are probably sitting there saying, when did you learn diplomacy? Because you had none up here. So
yeah, not much.
That's right.
On a daily basis.
Who is this at the other end of the phone?
It is always a pleasure, you guys. You
Tim,
do a
thanks,
wonderful
pal.
Job of covering all the sports up there. And as I said, I think it's one of the finest places I ever lived and the best sports town in North America. And I'm glad the teams are all doing well and you guys are having fun.
You're always welcome here. If you're making regular trips up here and you got a few minutes, we'd love to have you come in studio with us, but we'll leave that open invitation for you.
Always an honor. Thank you, guys. Great catching up. Cheers.
Thanks,
Take
Tim.
It easy, Tim.